I have to say that that song is one that always grabs me. I call it a heart song. There's those songs that just hit you where you need to be hit. They melt your heart. If there's anything hard in there, anything perverse, anything unprecious, that song hits the mark. So if you got a problem with attitude, there is a game changer. There's a word for us, the precious Lamb of God. Worthy is His name. We're called to live lives that are worthy of Christ, worthy of the gospel. Paul started that theme in Ephesians 4. We're continuing it through to the end now, beginning Ephesians 4 at verse 17. We're going to look at that last section. We're going to talk about the problems that we have to address in living godly lives, the attitude problems. Got it? We all do at different times, and we need to be hit by the truth and love. And sometimes it's the song that says it best. I looked at this, and if you did have a chance to prepare and read the little challenge I put out every week ahead of time, and I usually end that with a question to get you thinking about the passage. How many put-offs and do-nots are insisted here in this passage in 17 through 32? How many are insisted on so that we can get rid of our bad attitudes and actions and properly put on and parade the Christian uniform to the glory of God? When I worked this through, I don't know how many you got, I got about three put-offs, or actually two put-offs and one get-rid-of, and about seven do-nots or no longer this, no longer that type of stuff. So I thought, okay, I could preach on the imperfect 10. That's too many points. So I'm going to speak instead about putting off bad attitude in thought, word, and deed. So you can be thinking about that as we read these words together from Ephesians 4, how we need to put off the bad attitude and put on a new attitude, put it off in our thinking, our talking, and in our acting. Ephesians 4:17. This is Paul. This is Paul, the commander-in-chief. This is Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, calling all of us who are enlisted to get with it. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we all are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. May His Word pierce our hearts and especially change our minds. Got attitude. Remember a few weeks ago I mentioned about those T-shirts that our youth group back at my church in Webster Christian Reformed Church in the Rochester, New York area had put together. T-shirts that they wanted to sell, and it said, Webster Christian Reformed Church, home of the Christian attitude. It was kind of a response to that idea at the time that, you know, you got to have attitude. If you want to get somewhere in life, you got to have attitude. You got to go for it, you know. And so we were trying to take a little friendlier approach to that, you know, home of the Christian attitude. All of us at Webster Christian Reformed Church, we're such good saints. And I really didn't care for it, you know. I cared for it even less when they didn't sell and they ended up being given to us guys who were forming a new softball team. It was a church league. Okay, so it was fitting, you know, home of the Christian attitude. We're in a church league. Let's play like it, guys. Now, here's my philosophy of life. Whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, in everything, give glory to God. My first goal for having a church softball team, bring glory to God and enjoy God. Let's enjoy playing softball. Let's have fun. And as we enjoy playing a good, clean game, we give glory to God. It's very simple in all of life. What is man's chief end? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's my first goal in anything I do. So church softball as well. I always have a second goal, pretty much, because I'm a pastor evangelist. I want to reach lost people. So church softball team, good for building church fellowship, getting guys together, all that. But hey, there's other guys out there like to play. Got some friends? Bring them along. Let's introduce them to church. Let's introduce them about how to play godly church softball, home of the Christian attitude. Well, some of the recruits we got, you know where this is going. You feel the tension already, right? We were told at the conference that a good story has tension in it. Well, this one had plenty, let me tell you. Yeesh. I don't know where these guys came from. Well, one married into the church, and then he brought some other ones. Okay? But this was not pretty. Being the pastor on a church softball team where we're trying to reach some people and then, you know, if it wasn't enough that I was trying to manage the guys on my team, this other church, which always won the tournament somehow. They always got this guy at the end of the season who was a convert to their church, because this was the rules in the church league. You could have people who weren't members of your church on your ball team if they attended church once in a while, whatever that meant. It's a problem with rules when they're not spelled out and they're not enforced. And every year this church found this honking big guy at the end of the season who would hit a home run every time he got up. I could not back up far enough in right field. I couldn't climb a tree high enough to get up there to catch how far he would hit that ball. So we always lost. But that's okay. It's not about winning, right? It's about bringing glory to God. So I try to get this home to these guys, you know. Hey, see these church T-shirts we're wearing? Home of the Christian attitude? We got to stop thinking win at all costs. That's not good thinking. That's not how you play good Christian softball. We got to stop this trash talking stuff. We don't do that. This is a church league and we're a church. Okay? And we certainly don't get into brawling. Okay? It's not that important. Yeah. So there we were. Well, Paul addresses those things in this passage pretty directly. He talks about stinking thinking, and here's the three for today. So in case Jeff comes up at the end, you'll get this down now. All right. Put off stinking thinking. Put off trashy talking. And put off self-centered stealing. And that's going to be broadened out a little bit. You know, it talks about do not steal, let the thief no longer steal, but let him work doing something honest with him. The whole point of stealing and things that area of wrong is that you're not just taking things, but you're taking away from the glory of God. When you live a self-centered life, when you think about me, 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 and what I want and what I deserve, you steal away from the glory of God. And basically, you steal from yourself. You compromise your life. You totally ruin the name of Christ and your Christian witness. All right, so no stinking thinking, no trashy talking, no self-centered stealing. Let's talk about the core of the passage and where that comes from. Core of the passage, if you look there at 7 through 30, 17 through 32, comes at verses 20 through 24. Okay? Paul's talked about the stinking thinking already that goes on in verses 17 through 19. And then he says at verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. That isn't what you were thinking when I was telling you about the good news of Jesus Christ. You heard of him and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off. Okay, here's the three levels of the three steps that it takes to live a changed life, to live as children of light, as we're going to get to next week in chapter 5. You need to put off your old self, verse 22. Verse 23, you need to be made new in the attitude of your mind. And then, verse 24, you need to put on the new self. Now, next week we're going to talk more about putting on the new self, living as children of love, light, and finding the true life, all right, what that Christian uniform really looks like with love, light, and life. But this week, we just got to deal with the real stuff. We got the put-off stuff. How do you get to a new attitude? Well, you got to put that bad attitude off. You don't have to just adjust it. What's needed here is not just an attitude adjustment. What's needed here is an attitude replacement. You know, somebody said to me, you know, those guys on your team, they need a little attitude adjustment. No, they needed a lot more than just an attitude adjustment. They needed a whole new attitude, and they had to get rid of their stinking thinking, first of all. Putting that uniform over them, home of the Christian attitude, did not do it. And sometimes we try to fix up the Christian life by covering up what's there. I'm reminded that a few weeks ago, a bunch of us got the privilege of going with Dan again on a hike. And Dan, the man, always leads us into great places here in Guam. But if you're going to hike in the rainy season, some of you warned us, that hike to Telefofo Caves in the rainy season, that may not be a good idea. Who cares? We went with Dan to Sigua Falls after 2 inches of rain. We learned how to slide and get muddy and, you know, whatever. You just do it. Well, last Sunday after church, went with Megan, took us to Tarzan Falls. You just go with it. When it's muddy, you just lay down and slide like an otter. And, you get muddy, but get under the falls and you can clean up again. No big deal. Well, going to the caves is a little different. You know, Joe was with us, who was in as a Navy pilot for a couple weeks there. He worshiped with us 2 Sundays. And so this was his one outing on Guam. He was busy the whole 10 days he was here with Navy stuff, but this was his big event. So he said, how should I dress for this? And I said, knowing Guam a little bit already, and caves and hot and sweaty and dirty, I'm just going to wear my swimsuit. I'm not going to wear any more clothes than I have to because they're going to get dirty and sweaty and whatever. So Joe did like I did. We just wore swimsuits, had some rugged hiking sandals, and in we went. Well, what I thought was maybe going to be an hour and a half turned into a couple hours and turned into the whole afternoon. But hey, you know, there's a lot of caves there. There's a lot of tight places. There's some great views when you get through those tight places and you see the whole coastline again. But I'll tell you what, after about the fourth or fifth cave, and as we were going to the last one, we're walking along there, we're looking at each other. Joe took these before pictures, and then we're going to take these after pictures. I haven't quite seen those. I'm not sure if those pictures are publishable because of the after. I mean, we're walking along, and I think it's actually Betsy who said to Dan, "Wow, Brown, you are wet." Dan won the sweat wet award. And, you know, I got thinking, it's sure a good thing we went to church first and then went into the cave walk, because if we would have had, you know, afternoon church like the Chukis church or something like that, and we had gone out in the morning thinking, oh, this is only going to take a little while, we'll quick come to church, maybe grab a shower, maybe not, maybe just do a Polish shower. Now, here's a question. Do you guys know what a Polish shower is, and is that ethnically offensive to anyone? Have you ever heard of a Polish shower? No? Oh, well, let me... I guess back in the States, we like to make fun of Polish people. Anybody related to Polish people here? Okay, good, it's safe. I don't know, it's just one of those, there's Polak jokes, and there's, you know, there's German jokes, and there's Dutch jokes, and all that stuff. But for some reason, the idea of a Polish shower is that when you don't have time to take a shower, you just kind of, maybe you know, rub out your armpits, do a little something over the sink or something, but mostly, you just take off those sweaty clothes, quick spray on a little antiperspirant, you know, that's your Polish shower, and put on some clean clothes, and you're good to go. What do you think, crew who went out to the APOL women were with us? Even they didn't look near as beautiful as they look right now. I mean, well, Mike, you weren't there. I'm sorry. You know, you couldn't defend your beauty, but it was ugly, I'll tell you. I can't imagine coming to church after going down into the depths of the earth like we did there and coming out stinking, sweating, and changing clothes or putting on new clothes would not have done it. What's needed? What's needed is a total bath, total immersion, total reteaching in Christ. That's not how you learn Christ. You were taught the truth in Christ. You were taught that you are to begin a whole new life. You've got to put off that old stuff. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be washed. You've got to take a shower. You've got to be cleaned up completely. Nothing can just go over top. It has to change from the inside out. And Jesus talked about that because, you know, stinking thinking leads to these next things we're going to talk about. Trashy talking and bad acting, selfish stealing. You know, as a man thinks, so he is. In fact, Paul uses the word there when he talks about this week, don't live any longer as the Gentiles do. He's really saying don't walk any longer like the Gentiles walk. The word in the Greek is walk, but the Greek word walk, peripatetos, is that idea of the philosopher's walk. It was that place where those guys who were really wanting to think, wanted to clear their minds and really focus on something, would go out and they'd walk back and forth and they'd walk back and forth until they had their thoughts clear. Then they'd go write it down. So to live a life, to walk a walk, is to get your thinking clear. To completely put everything else out of your mind so that you can get the truth of what it means to be in Christ Jesus in your mind and in your heart and start living in that whole new attitude of life. Put off the old self so that you can put on the new. Get baptized in Christ. I have been crucified in Christ. The life I live now, I live no longer in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God. I put off the flesh. I take on fresh faith, fresh grace. I take on Christ. I live in Christ now, and Christ lives in me. A whole new way of thinking. Get rid of stinking thinking. And if that isn't enough, and that you know, to hear that you need to be in Christ, you know, Paul is vivid here. And I was going to go back to what Jesus said a moment. About, you know, what defiles a person. What defiles a person is not what goes into them. You know, the Pharisees were all worried about looking good and eating the right things, doing the right things. Jesus said, you are just whitewashed tombs full of dead man bones. And it stinks inside of your life. What really tells the truth about a person is what comes out of them. Because as they think, so they are. As they think, so they'll talk. And he talks about, you know, those things that are in the heart that'll come to expression. He talks about, you know, lust and adultery and all those bad things that cause that bad attitude, that bad stinking thinking. I had this marked and I lost it because I got too excited. Ah, yeah, here it is. This is Luke 12, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Oh, no, that was from this morning, evangelism class. That's why I got confused there. Sorry about that, but I pretty much covered it. Jesus said, you know, it's those things that come out of a man, that his words belay his attitudes, his heart, where he's at with God or where he's not at with God. Paul talks about it again. This futile thinking, this, well, it really, as Paul describes it, it's like a slide into the sewer once you go the walk of the Gentile walk, the pagan walk, the way of the world. Listen at verses 17, 18, and 19 again. It's worth realizing how bad this is. The futility of their thinking, darkened in the understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And so, because their hearts are hard, because their minds are dark, because they have this stinking thinking going on, they lose all sensitivity, they give themselves over to sensuality, and indulge in every kind of impurity, and if that's not enough, they keep wanting more. You know, you need to put that stuff off, because that stuff is off-putting. Now, this is a word the Australians used, and I loved it. I didn't get it at first. They would talk about some people, okay? They were kind of cluing me in, who were off-putting, or what they had done was off-putting. Now, we all know it's to be off. You haven't used your milk for a while, and you open it up again, you're going to put on your cereal, but you smell it first, and you're like, oh, that milk smells a little off. You go on vacation for 2 or 3 weeks and you come back and you think you're going to use that milk and you do that. Whoa, now that's off-putting. That just about puts the nose right off your face. It smells so bad, so rotten. An off-putting attitude, a stinking attitude, stinking thinking is, and what the Australians are saying, some people's attitude is so thick. Some of the things they say, some of the things they do, some of the way that they just carry themselves or look at you is so off. Putting. We don't want to have that kind of life. That's not a life that brings glory to God. We need to not be off-putting. We need to put that off once and for all. Now that's going to show in the way we talk then. So therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. So we're getting into the area of talk now, and we're saying we need to put off trashy talk. And we need to put off, part of trashy talk is just not being careful about saying the truth. We say what we want to say. We say whatever we think will get us ahead in life. And Paul says, no, you need to put off falsehood. You need to speak the truth in love with people because this is how the body is built up. So he's kind of referring to some things he's already said back at the beginning of chapter 4. You know, first of all, trashy talk means no untruth. Then he gets into another area, verses 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on while you're angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So there you have three do nots right in two verses. And I think he's expanding this thought of angry talk when he comes back again at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So here's probably one of the key areas, anger and temperamental talk. This is where we often get into trouble. And sometimes it's just one little word or one little expression of face even. The attitude, the stinking thinking, the bad attitude is revealed so often as just one little thing comes across our tongue. And we so often wish we could take it back. Now, here's the important thing. What did Paul say? That we should never be angry? No, he didn't say that. He said, in your anger, do not sin. Other versions of it actually say, be angry, but sin not. All right? So anger itself is not the problem. It's what you do with it. It's how you control that anger. It's how you control your temperament. Do you have some self-control? If you have stinking thinking in your head, you're not going to have any control. But if you have a new attitude of mind, if you put that off, then you're going to have some controls, and you're going to feel this anger, you're going to feel this passion. Passion is good, all right? If you don't have any passion, you got to wonder whether you're alive. I wonder if your heart's beating, if the blood's going through there, all right? So passion is good, and sometimes things make us angry, righteously angry. Jesus got angry. Jesus turned the tables over in the temple, okay? So anger itself is not bad. But being temperamental without self-control is like having an atomic bomb where the switch is right at our finger. And I remember something that my dentist told me once. This is what really helped me to think about this, is about, you know, what is that trigger? Well, that trigger's on your tongue, okay? James talks about the tongue is this powerful creature. Who can tame the tongue? And I think people have said it is one of the strongest muscles in your body, because you use it not only for eating, but you use it for talking, and sometimes too much. So that tongue is always going, and mine's really going right now. And boy, mine's getting dry. So hang on here a minute. I got to slow down. I just learned this yesterday at PIU. I'm going to give chapel in a couple of weeks. And the guy said, remember, not everybody out there knows English as well as you do. So let me try to slow down here, do a little self-control. My dentist. One time, I think I had the root canal, and I had a molar that, you know, dead root. They dug it out. They filled it up, put a cap on it. No, they never got around to getting a cap on. I didn't have the money to put a cap on it. Just kind of epoxied it to hold it together. He said, someday that tooth is going to break. You really should get a cap on there. I'm like, yeah, well, if you've got $1,000 to loan me, fine. So I just made do. And he said, oh, okay, we'll see how long you get along. Well, finally, that part of that molar broke off. And all of a sudden, I've got this hole on the side of my mouth where this molar is broken off. And I'm just finding my tongue is wanting to go there all the time. And it was sharp, and I'm cutting my tongue on my own tooth. I'm like, I got to get to the dentist. This is driving me crazy. And I said, why does the tongue do that? Well, you know, I know it's there. I don't want to do that, but I do it. That which I don't want to do, that's the very thing I do. He said, the tongue will always go looking for something. Yeah. That kind of hit me where I was at. And I think that kind of hits this passage. The tongue will always go looking for something. And if you've got stinking thinking, you're going to end up in trash talking. You're going to end up in lying. You're going to end up in saying something you shouldn't have said. You're going to have unwholesome talk. The word there in the Greek, unwholesome, is literally rotten, filthy. Jokes that you shouldn't tell. Into window that you put into something. You know, all that kind of stuff that just, like, does this bring glory to God? Is this what a child of light says? And even, you know, the simple stuff as far as, you know, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Here's a very good question to ask yourself whenever you're going to talk, whenever your tongue is going looking for something. Think you should say something here? Ask yourself, is it true? Okay, because you can only speak the truth in love. Is it loving? Is it true? Is it loving? Okay. In other words, is it going to build this person up? You know, is it fitting? True, loving? Is it wise and timely? Is it according to their needs at this time? And finally, that it may benefit those who listen. I think that not only are we talking about the person you're talking to here, but we're talking about other people that might be listening. Okay? Does everyone need to hear this? Or is this confidential? was this just a conversation between me and that person? I told them something, the truth in love. And so now I go, hey, you know, I talked to so-and-so the other day, and I told them the truth in love, so you better be praying for them, because is that more information than they need to know that you have the right to share? Watch that tongue, always looking to go somewhere that it probably shouldn't go, and it's going to find a point that it's going to get cut on, and it's going to be sharp, and somebody's going to bleed, and it's going to hurt, and you're going to wish that you had bit your tongue before it found that sharp place. So there's just a little story to keep that in perspective too. Finally, and he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands. Thoughts lead to words, lead to actions. Stinking thinking, trashy talking, self-centered stealing. Just life is about me. Life is about me. I'll take what I want. I deserve it. I'll get it. And whether you think about that in terms of petty crime in the poor class, or whether you think about that in terms of the upper class and greed and crooked investments and cheating on your taxes or whatever, everybody in one way or another is tempted to steal, to do the self-centered thing rather than to do the other serving thing. And so the solution, Paul says, don't steal, but work. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. So put your hands to work. Do something useful, something that will contribute, something that will give, not take. And when you get it, be ready to share it. That's the whole point of receiving. Freely you've received, freely give. Be useful. Use your life, use your hands, your feet, use your mind, use your body, use everything to bring glory to God, to love your neighbor, to serve others, to share with those in need. That's pretty simple. Pretty simple what we need to do in terms of putting off the old self so that we get a whole new attitude and we're ready to put on that Christian uniform, ready to parade the Christian life as it's meant to be lived to the glory of God. Well, what happened to my ball team? When you have two goals, it is good sometimes to have them in the order of priority. First goal, to give God glory and enjoy God by giving Him glory. I was only ever out to enjoy a sport. That's my rule in sports. It's not all about winning. It's about enjoying, using our bodies. It's about playing fair. It's about bringing glory to God. If that goal is being compromised, then the second goal of trying to reach people for Christ through a softball team, well, something's got to go. Well, something did go. The next year, to my surprise and disappointment, one of the guys who was an outreach recruit said, look, guys, I've got new uniforms for us. And it's got our names on the back. Well, I did put the church name on the front. It said Christian Reform. Forgot the ED. You know, reformed and always reforming? Yeah, forgot the ED. Spelled reformed wrong. Left off the ED. So it kind of looked like we were all from reform school or some reform penitentiary or something like that. But it had our names on the back. Now, the reason I realized he didn't know how to spell is because my name, Verlin, he couldn't spell that. So he just put Pastor V. So you may call me that. That's okay. That was the one good thing. I'm like, yeah, okay, my name's a little hard. Pastor V, yeah, that's cool. Whatever. But, you know, the whole idea was we got our names, but we don't have this Christian attitude on here anymore. And so we can be who we want to be. We played one more season with that team. We wore those shirts. But that was it. The next year, if we can't get a new attitude on this team into these guys, then we need a new team. Started a father-son team. Nate was probably only, my oldest son Nate, who's 20-some now, he was probably only maybe just barely 12 or 13 at the time. Some other fathers had sons. We played, man, we got tromped on. We lost every game. But we gave glory to God in doing it. And it was a new attitude. It was a new team. And We didn't wear any uniforms. We let our actions speak for themselves. We just wore whatever we had that night to wear. I didn't mean that we didn't wear anything. We just didn't wear. Just thought I should clarify that and clear that up, okay? But those young guys were in training. We taught them how to glorify God, how to have fun through sports. And you know what? 3 or 4 years down the road, we were a winning team. We were always the B team, but we beat the Webster A team pretty soundly a few times later on as we developed to the glory of God. So put on Christ. Put on a new attitude. Get rid of stinking thinking. Get rid of trashy talk. Get rid of self-centered stealing. And do what needs to be done to bring glory to God. Amen? All right, we're going to close the service.